Open up again, please, to Genesis chapter 6. Let's finish up what we were looking at as far as grace goes. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace is God working in you, Philippians 2:13. Both to will and to do his good pleasure. And that's why you can't be saved without grace, unless God does something. And there was a time in my life when God did something that got my attention and caught your attention, and that was only grace, because there was no other way. Verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it says that Noah walked with God. And that's what faith is. Faith is simply walking with God. And you and I decide how close we want to be as we walk. If you want to be in the 2 million in the wilderness walking at a great distance, that's your choice. Or if you want to slip next to the Savior like John did in the upper room to be as close as he could, that's your choice. And we walk with God. And here we see that the world was corrupt before God and the earth was filled with violence. Verse 13 said, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, and the earth is filled with violence. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. I don't know what gopher wood is, and the Bible scholars, they don't know what it is either. Some say it's some kind of a cypress or a cedar. That would make sense if you're going to make a boat. I don't know. But God had a specific directions for Noah to follow. And thou shalt make an ark, which means a big box. And thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now the word there in the Hebrew is kafar, pitch, which is translated in most other places as atonement, covering, the atonement. The thing that made it float was an atonement. And you and I, we can't find an ark to get into. But by faith we come to the cross of Jesus Christ, and we put our faith and trust in him and the atonement. And no matter how the floods rise or the rain falls and the lightning flashes all about us and the sun disappears, and we're in the midst of the most awful and terrible torrential downpour, as we peer into the darkness, we're floating, not because of anything we've done. It's because we're covered by the blood and pitched within and without. And that's why the ark floated. And when we're considering numbers, we're talking about the world being saved. There were only eight. Noah was the eighth person. There were eight people that believed in the message that the world was going to be destroyed. Everybody else laughed. It was the most hysterical thing they ever saw. It was ridiculous. It was a waste of money. It was a waste of time. It was just silly. It was foolish. Sounds like people talking about the cross, scoffing at Jesus as he's hanging there, dying for the sins of the world. And one by one, it dawns on people, as they come to the empty tomb and see that he is not there, he's risen as he said, that their lives are changed and transformed, and they are saved. And this is the fashion, and he goes on to explain the length of it, 450 yards in length, an enormous vessel. And it's got one window, verse 16, a window thou shalt make of the ark a cubit thou shalt finish it above, and a door thou shalt set on the side thereof. Just one door and one window. And verse 5, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Wow. Now we're saved by grace through faith. It's God working in you. But notice Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. When they ran out of wine at the wedding of Cana, Mary said to the servants, whatever he asks you to do, do it. And the Bible says, this is the beginning of miracles. You and I came to a place in our life where we stopped questioning God, challenging God, arguing with God, disagreeing with God, and we came into agreement with him. And once we do that, we are in harmony with heaven, and we are as close as we possibly could be. And Noah did according to all that the Lord asked. And that's what the Lord Jesus said. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Teaching people to do what I've commanded. Wow. Be easier to build an ark than to forgive somebody. And yet the Lord said, forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. If you don't forgive your brother who has offended you, then your heavenly Father is not going to forgive you. What? Why not ask me to build an ark? I could do that. But to forgive that person, I'm not going to do it. Whoa, that calls for supernatural power. That's called grace. But you don't know what he did to me. You don't know what she did to me. Nothing compared to what we did to Jesus. And yet he looked down from the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And one of the things that God asks us to do is to obey his word. If you love me, keep my commandments. He's not talking about Sinai, he's talking about Calvary. He's telling us to walk where he walks, to love as he loves, to forgive as he forgives. And you and I, the only reason we got into the ark, the only reason we were saved, because of his grace. That's hard, Lord. Do you have a boat to build? Do you want me to build a boat instead? No, I want you to bless those that curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you. I want you to turn the other cheek when someone disrespects you. Boy. It's hard when somebody plucks off your beard not to want to strike back. And yet there he was. He gave his back to the smiters and his beard to those that pluck it off. And he opened not his mouth. He was as a lamb before the shearers. He was dumb. He opened not his mouth. He could have called 12 legions of angels and pulled his hands from the spikes and said, that's it, that's enough, and killed everybody with one word and made them wish they were never born. But he didn't. Jesus Christ not only shows us how to die, he shows us how to live. And that calls for supernatural power, which he provides, called grace. and Noah did. Now, we're not saved by what we do, and we don't have to build an ark. But when he says, come, we do what he asks us to do, and we come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Do you know what Noah means? Noah? It means rest. And you and I have come to rest upon him. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me find my rest in thee. And in this restless world, we have found rest in him. And that's the only place there is rest. After the flood subsided, there was no place to put one's foot. The Bible says that the ark came to rest on a mountaintop called Ararat. What does Ararat mean? Holy ground. We've come to a place, a crossroads, where mercy and truth meet, an intersection. Called the cross, and it's holy ground, and that's the only place we can find rest. Not on a boat somewhere or an ark, but in Jesus. And then that word, chapter 7 and verse 1, used for the first time. And the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And every clean beast that thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and the female and the beasts that are not clean, but not clean, wait a minute. We're letting not clean beasts in here. Only clean beasts. No, in order to be saved, it didn't matter whether you were clean or you were not clean. Whether you were tall or you were not tall, whether you were smart or you were not smart, the only people that were saved were those that were in the ark. Those that were not in the ark perished. And into the ark came the animals, clean and unclean. Now you have some explanation for that, the theologians, that's fine. That's okay. But the whole point is that if you were in the ark, you were saved. If you were not in the ark, you drowned. How I die is God's business. How I live is my business. I have no control of how I die. I could step out of the sidewalk tomorrow and get hit by a bus. Or you could read in a newspaper, Ingemar DeRitter died peacefully in his sleep last night. You know, I'd like you to read that. I don't know. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. God knows. He's not going to be surprised. He's expecting me. And so that's all in God's hands. But how we live is in our hands. And God has given each of us a job to do. Maybe not to build an ark, maybe to build a wall. Yes, like Nehemiah around the city of God. Or to raise a family in a corrupt generation. Or maybe to sing his praises of light against the darkness. God has something for you to do and something for me to do.
God called George Mueller to build an orphanage to orphans.
Take those urchins off the street and show them the love of God. And all he did was what God asked him to do. And Hudson Taylor, traversing around the world on sailing ships, saying goodbye to kin and loved ones, was just doing what God wanted him to do. And when you and I stand before God, God's just going to ask us, did we do what he asked us to do? What did we do with the talent he gave us? Oh, Lord, I buried it in the earth and wrapped it in a napkin. Here it is. You mean you didn't use it?
You didn't invest it? You didn't spend it and find out the joy of finding a barrel of oil that never went dry or a barrel of meal that never expired? You buried it. I was afraid I was going to run out. Lord, don't you know that I gave it to you for you to give to somebody else so I could show and demonstrate the power of God in your life?
And everywhere you hear the name Noah, immediately people think of what he did. He built an ark. And Mueller, an orphanage. And someone else, a temple. What did God ask you to do? And Noah went in, verse 7, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and beasts that are not clean, of fowls and everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two, look at it, verse 9, unto Noah into the ark. What are we talking about now? We're talking about grace. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark. He didn't have to go out and set traps. God said, get two of every kind. And so I've got these bear traps. No, they came to Noah. These animals, two by two, drawn by the same grace that drew you and drew me. And it was against the animal instinct to come to the man whom they feared. And yet they came. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And people everywhere, they are afraid of God because they don't know God and they think he's an awful taskmaster that reaps where he doesn't sow and tries to squeeze blood out of a rock. And Jonah, who went to Nineveh and went the other way, went to Tarsus, said, the Lord said, why'd you do that? He said, well, I knew you were a gracious God and you were going to forgive these heathens. And I couldn't forgive them. I figured you couldn't forgive them either. I wasn't going to do it. I knew you were a gracious God, he said. He is. Go to Nineveh? Yes, God always makes a way of escape. And even if the whole world is going down like the Titanic, there's a lifeboat. You can call it the HMS Ark, Her Majesty or His Majesty's Ark. It's always a way of escape. And no matter how dark things are, no matter how far someone has fallen, you and I can point them to the cross. And there's grace. And and they were saved. That's the grace part. Let's take a look at the faith part. Hebrews chapter 11. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. People are saved in the Old Testament the same way in the New Testament. They just didn't have much light. We're saved by grace through faith. Faith hears the inaudible, sees the invisible, believes the incredible, does the impossible, accepts the inevitable, inherits the indestructible. Faith hears the inaudible. Everybody else will listen to the wrong channel. They were listening to ghetto rap. Noah, he was tuned in and he heard the weather report from God. Faith hears the inaudible. That's the way faith always comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And one day I heard it, and one day you heard it, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin was death. And that Jesus Christ is the only hope and only Savior. And we believed it. Somebody you know needs to just hear it. That Jesus is the only hope. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the shelter in the time of storm. Somebody's going through a storm right now. They don't know what to do. You need to tell them to come in out of the rain. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Come. Come white, come black, come rich, come poor, come male, come female. Come learned, come unlearned. Come, just come, come. Faith hears the inaudible. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Did it catch your ear? It finally caught my ear. I was deaf before I could hear it. I turned the world's music up so loud I became deaf that one day I heard God's word. Faith hears the inaudible. Take a look at it. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. Did you ever listen to the radio or the TV and all of a sudden you have the emergency blast come across? Catches your ear. One day I heard that. And so did you. Of things not seen as yet. Look at it. Of things not seen as yet. Faith sees the invisible. Faith hears the inaudible. It sees the invisible. It sees what's not seen. And it's true. Before a hospital went up, somebody saw it. So much so they could write it down and put it on a blueprint and say, well, no, that's not it. This is going to be like this. You know what I'm talking about. And God allows us to see his plan of salvation. We didn't see it before. And God rolls it out, and we see the invisible. That there's an old rugged cross upon which the Son of God lays down his life for us. Faith hears the inaudible. Sees the invisible. Look at it. Things not seen as yet. Moved with fear, believes the incredible. Somebody said the building's on fire and you believed it, you would get out. If you didn't believe it, you would stay there until it was too late. Moved with fear. You hear the horn and you get out of the way of the bus. Or you get off the train track when you hear the whistle. Why? Because you're moved with fear. And one day we hear that God is a holy God, and it moves us to get off the track. We're moved with fear. It believes the incredible. God's going to destroy the whole world? Well, Noah believed it. Prepared an ark. Faith hears the inaudible, sees the invisible, believes the incredible, does the impossible. Builds an ark. Are you kidding? Are you serious? Yes. You can do anything God asks you to do. That's the exciting thing about a life of faith. You might not know how it's going to work out. Where are you going to get the lumber, or who has that much pitch? But you'll be able to do it.
How am I going to feed all of these children? And George Mueller asked the boys and girls to bow their head and thank God for the food that was not on the table. And in the middle of the prayer, the bread wagon breaks down in front of the orphanage. And they say, we got all this bread here. Let's give it to you so we can unload this wagon.
The life of faith does the impossible. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Enters the invincible. Those in the ark were saved. Those not in the ark were not. Not complicated, not rocket scientists. Get in the ark. Get in the boat. Those who got into the lifeboat and left the Titanic live to tell the story to their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And there was a moment when they had some second thoughts, maybe. Should I leave this gigantic luxury liner, or should I get in that little boat? And they got in the boat. The rest is history. He entered the invincible. Jesus Christ is the invincible. Anyone in him is saved. By which he also condemned the world, accepts the inevitable. Some are trying to save the world. Good luck with that. Some are trying to save Willie. Good luck with that. No. God's in the soul-saving business. He wants people to get into the ark. Let him worry about the world. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Be a whole lot better. We condemn the world. By getting in the ark, he said, look, you take the world, I'm taking Jesus. I'm following him. You're crazy. And he was the only one that survived. And became heir of righteousness. He inherits the indestructible. He inherits righteousness. One day when you walk down Hallelujah Boulevard on one of the streets of gold, gonna run into him. Be able to shake Noah's hand. A man who walked with God. And you and I are called to do the same. Just to walk with him. How can two, says Amos in the third chapter in the third verse, walk together except to be agreed? Can't. And so we come to a place in our life where we say, you know what? I'm going to agree with God. I'm going to trust that He knows better than I do that a storm is coming. And the storm that fell on Jesus on Calvary 2,000 years ago should have fallen on my head and your head. But He took my place. And He is my shelter and my surety and my shepherd and my sovereign King and Lord. And we follow Him. With all the trouble in the world today, I don't know what the weather report is going to be next month or next year. But I do know there's still room. I don't think they had a sign-up sheet for shuffleboard on the ark. Just don't think so. I didn't think they had a 24-hour buffet either. A swimming pool or a crystal chandelier. It was covered with pitch on the inside and on the out. Serious business, salvation. But no one who's ever entered in was disappointed. Because God didn't say, go into the ark. He said, come into the ark. And wherever God is, you could count on it being good. And I'm not sure what took place on that ark for that 1 year they were floating around in the storm and on the high sea. But I knew that God was with them. And whatever storm you and I have to go through, if the world is still here next month or next year, if it's still here, He promised to go through it with us. He said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. If you need a shelter in a time of storm, all I can do is recommend Jesus. If you have a friend who's going through a storm right now, don't ask them to go to look at the Ark Museum. Ask them to go to a place called Calvary and bow before the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for so great salvation. Lord, we look at men and women of great faith, and sometimes we stand in awe. But you take the weak to confound the mighty. You take the poor to overthrow the rich. You take the humble to dethrone the proud. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Help us to hear your word, to be moved by it, to respond to it, to obey it. Thank you for the day we heard of Jesus and the day we came. Father, there's still a spot before the second coming. Help us, Lord, to be the one to share with somebody the good news of God's grace. And we ask this in your Son's name. We also ask you to bless this assembly, that each would be encouraged to know that you are faithful. And I pray that you would bless as this assembly seeks to do your will, whatever that might be. I pray you bless the food and the fellowship that we're about to eat and enjoy, and we pray that you'd bless the hands that prepared it, and may Jesus Christ in everything have all the preeminence, for it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Good day. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming.